Please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. In just a moment, I'll read a verse, verse 21. Before I begin, however, I want to say good morning to everyone, and it's good to be back. Seems like I've been gone for quite a while. Last week, preached a meeting in Red Bay, Alabama. Really enjoyed that, but it's a pleasure for me to be back here again. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21, Paul wrote, "But that you also may know of my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and fellow minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you." So, if you would, right now, let's just travel back in time a little bit. Well, a whole lot, about 2,000 years, to about 61, 62 A.D., when Paul had this letter delivered. My name is Tychicus, and I'm delivering this letter to you today. I have been on a long journey. It seems like I've been journeying forever, going to Rome, visiting with the Apostle Paul and helping him with the work, and now that I have returned to you bearing this letter. Paul's doing fine. He, with a man who is all he's been through, it's amazing that he's doing as well as he is, but he's doing very well. He's in prison still, and he's awaiting his trial. We don't know exactly when that trial is going to happen. When you're trying to see Caesar, it's hard to get able to see him face to face. But we trust that he's going to be on trial soon, and we simply have to put our faith in the Lord. But Paul's working while he's there in prison. It's amazing how much that man is able to do in teaching people and talking even to the guards who are guarding him. Now, I've been traveling with another man, Onesimus. Onesimus was a runaway slave who met Paul in Rome and heard the gospel, became a Christian, and Paul sent him home. And we traveled to Colossae. I just dropped him off there. Paul wrote a letter both to Philemon, his master, and also to the church there at Colossae. And I've journeyed here. I just got here last night. But I knew you'd be here this morning. It's the first day of the week. Christians meet on the first day of the week. And I am here to read this letter. And so I'm glad that you're here. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read this letter for you. And if you would, I know that we just actually heard some excerpts of the letter, but hear it again for the first time as we read through the letter. Now, I know that there are some visitors here that aren't from Ephesus here, and so let me kind of get you up to speed on what's happened here in Ephesus, just so that you kind of know some of the context of the book. If you have your Bibles, which you really don't have yet, but let's just say, go back to the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts is recorded the journeys of the Apostle Paul. And we have in chapter 18, Paul is on his second journey. And he is going back to Jerusalem, and on his way, he stops off briefly in Ephesus. That's in chapter 18 and in verse 19. And he reasons with the Jews there for just a little while in the synagogue, but he's got to go. I mean, he is on his journey. He's set to leave. But he promises them there in Ephesus, "I'm coming back. I will come back and talk to you again." So he goes back and ends up in Caesarea, lands in Caesarea, goes up back to Antioch. And he is, after a very short period of time, he is going on his third journey. He goes through some of the cities there, Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and so forth. And this time, he's coming to Ephesus, and he's going to stay there for a while. As a matter of fact, he's going to stay at Ephesus for about 2 years, 3 months, 2 years, 6 months, which for the Apostle Paul is really putting down roots. He really gets to know these brethren. And he has been working from Antioch in Syria, and that's where the Holy Spirit said, "Now it's time for you to leave." That was kind of his center of operation. Now it seems as though Ephesus is really his center of operation for an extended period of time. In chapter 19, we find that Paul comes to Ephesus Apollos has already taught some disciples there. They've already been baptized with the baptism of John. Paul has to educate them further, so now they're baptized in the name of Jesus. So it starts off there in verse 7 with 12 disciples begin the church there in Ephesus. So this is about 53 or so A.D. We'll continue the reading in verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Paul has a unique opportunity here in the city of Ephesus. It is a beautiful city. It is a city that is very prominent in the area. And Paul is able to preach to all of Asia, having this opportunity to be in this school and receiving people and being able to teach about the Lord Jesus for a period of 2 years. During this time, he writes probably the book of 1 Corinthians, most likely the book of Galatians, maybe 2 Thessalonians. So this is his home base here for a while, here in Ephesus. He really gets to know the brethren here. He is the beginning, helping to begin this church here in Ephesus. Now, archaeologists have dug up some of the ruins of our city, and it didn't look like this. That was me. This is a selfie that I took. You see, walking down the street here. I had a long selfie stick. And walking down the street here in Ephesus, and buildings aren't looking too good right now. But in their day, this was a foremost city. In fact, it's described as the first city in the provinces here of Asia. Now, Pergamos is the capital, but Ephesus is the first city. They are the ones that have, there are three cities in this time frame that are considered the greatest import centers. Alexandria down in Egypt, also Antioch of Assyria, and here in Ephesus. So there are people from all over the world who are coming here, particularly in Asia, coming here to Ephesus. It is a hub for philosophers and poets and orators, sort of like over in Athens and Corinth, but on this side of the Aegean Sea. People have flocked to this place to learn and to gain. And so it has become a wonderful haven for Paul to be able to walk these streets and to teach and to preach so that people might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there has been a lot of opposition to that, unfortunately, at the very first in the synagogue with the Jews. But also, a little bit later here, some of the companions of Paul even get thrown into the theater. You see the theater off into the distance there that's built into the side of the mountain there. And Paul wanted to go in there, but they stopped him. Remember what happened there? If you look a little bit further in the context here, in verse 24, Demetrius was a silversmith, and he made idols and sold them in the marketplace because the temple of Diana is here, Artemis. And we, unfortunately, are not selling as many idols as we used to, because people used to flock in here to buy these idols, and now all of a sudden the Apostle Paul says that she's not real. She's not a goddess. In fact, he says all of these gods are false that we have bowed down to in the past, and there is only one true God. It's cutting into our business. And so he pulls together the other silversmiths and throws the whole city into an uproar. They end up there in the theater. And Paul ends up leaving after a short period of time. But here in the city of Athens, we find this goddess of Diana. And this is an artist's depiction of the temple that was there. A beautiful structure. People from all over the world are coming here to worship this fertility god. Goddess Diana. The Apostle Paul is saying that she is false, and a lot of people are believing that. This church is having some impact. It's kind of interesting in history. This is what's left of the Temple of Diana today. Artist depiction, and where is she now? But the true God is still God. But what we'd like to do with that kind of as a history is read through this letter. Now, I would encourage you as we go through this letter to look for a few things. Put yourself in the church at Ephesus. If you can, in your mind, go back to Ephesus 2,000 years ago. The church is only about 7 years old. It's been 4 years since the Apostle Paul was there. He's talked to the elders. Remember, he meets them in the isle or in the city of Miletus, and he talks to them about some problems that are going to come in, and perhaps we're in the midst of those problems now. And so try to put yourself back there in the city of Ephesus, in the church there, as it met to hear this letter, as Tychicus read it. Look through, as we read through there, key in on the riches that are found in Christ. You know, this is an international trading hub, a lot of riches there. You had the people who have burned their magical books that became Christians. And yet, are they poor because of that? Because they have gotten rid of those those idol things that they have made money on, and now that they've come to Christ? Notice the focus on the riches that are found in Christ as we read through this letter, and the supremacy of Christ. You're not going to read anything about Diana in this book because she's not real. No reason to talk about her at all. Jesus is the one who is real, and Jesus is the one who is supreme. And the focus in this letter of the position that Jesus possesses, and also the maturity level of the people in Ephesus. You know, this month, going back to the 21st century, Jeff Archer again, I've been here about 11 years. And when I got here, the church was not beginning. It had already been in existence for a long time. So think about the growth that's taken place in this last 11 years. Go back again 2,000 years. The people who were converted were for the most part pagan Gentiles. And they've already got elders. And they've already reached as you read through the book, just listen for the maturity level that these brethren have achieved in 7 years at the most of individuals being converted to Christ. And there's another interesting thing as we read through this, the discussion of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, as we've done before, if you'd like, you could just not look at your Bible, but listen as it would have been in the first century. You wouldn't have had a Bible with you. You would have just been listening to the letter. Maybe it's easier for your mind to stay focused, to look at your Bible. If you'd like to do that, you can. But let's read it again for the first time. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. Therefore, Paul says therefore a lot in this letter. Connects a lot of ideas. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been made near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off, and those who are near, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from which the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you. This is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now he switches to their lives. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity, the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore put away lying. Each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, and whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you, in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husbands. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them. Give up threatenings, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, my beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. What a rich, rich letter. They burned books worth at least $250,000 when they realized that their books of secrets, of their sorcery, of their magic were worthless. Wow. What did they get in its place? A book that talks about the manifold wisdom of God and the riches that are found there. In the next few weeks, I'd like for us to explore in some detail some of the aspects of this letter. But if you're not a Christian, how could you but be struck with the grace of God and His love and His mercy and His providence, how He's worked all of this together for you and for me? People in Ephesus and people in Huntsville, so that we might have the salvation of our souls. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you, believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. Be willing to change your life. Repent. It is for your better. Confess His name and be baptized so that you can be born again into the family of God. If you'd like to become a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one this morning. If you are a Christian and for some reason have not valued this treasure that we have, sin in your life and need to come back, make now that opportunity that you come back to the Lord. Won't you come while we stand and sing?